Good morning, everybody. Boker tov. It's a pleasure to see everybody this morning. Really a tremendous hakar tov to all of you coming out on a day we don't have yeshiva, we don't have work, to be able to come to spend a morning, a little time together, to start the day with Talmud Torah. It's something really, really beautiful. Just to give a little hakar tov for others as well, to make sure to recognize that the shul is what always every year, Baruch Hashem, so generous in terms of allowing us to use the space that they have, davening shiurim here, breakfast here. So to thank you really just to the shul, to the Rav, to Dr. Landa, who really helped me coordinate a lot of this and be able to put it together. And a special thank you to Akiva for getting the food this morning. Shout out to Akiva for going out of his way this morning to pick up all the food, come help set it up. So really, really appreciate it. So Thanksgiving shiurim are always challenging to think of what the topic is. Yontif shiurim are easy. The Nyana Dioma, Thanksgiving are a little bit more complicated. There's some of the typical topics and look through Wayu Torah. But I thought this morning we'd talk about some of the other in Nyana Dioma things which are relevant as well as a key of the day, and that of all things related to football, as well as a springboard for this morning. We're not going to talk about football per se in terms of the teams and scores, but we'll talk about perhaps some of the broader issues relating to sports, and as well as we'll try to hone in on football in particular. What we're really going to do this morning is we're going to have two mini shiurim together. These are really two separate topics. We're going to go through each of them somewhat rapidly, and then we'll be able to tie them up together. The first topic is something which I think a lot of the guys are certainly used to hearing about when they go to camp, and that is in terms of the obligation, or not lack thereof, to wear tzitzis while playing ball. And I think that's something that we all struggle with, and it's something that we all perhaps think about, and something that sometimes we take for granted and make a lot of assumptions. So I wanted to spend the first part of the morning now really talking about, and even though guys have perhaps heard little pieces of this in camp, to dig a little bit deeper and to really take a look at the sources, take a look at Chazal and the Halacha, to be able to just really get an understanding, and perhaps we can all walk away with a better appreciation of the beautiful mitzvah of tzitzis. So first and foremost is to recognize how important is this mitzvah? How great is the mitzvah of tzitzis? You take a look, source number one, the Gemara in Menachos, and Daf Gimel and Beis. The Gemara tells us the following. Tani idach, ureisem asos, we just said, you should see the mitzvah of tzitzis, ureschartem is called mitzvah of Hashem, to remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem. Says the Gemara there, shakula mitzvah zu, keneged kol ha-mitzvahs kulon. That this mitzvah of tzitzis is equal to all of the mitzvahs, which is an incredible thing if you think about it for a moment. The mitzvah of tzitzis, which we kind of take for granted, yeah, if you look at them, you remember all the mitzvos. How does that work? What does that mean? Your tzitzis are equal to all the mitzvos, and therefore what? If I do tzitzis, if I wear tzitzis, I don't have to do other mitzvos? What is Chazal trying to explain and how to understand that concept? There's a famous comment of Rav Zalman Sorotzkin. Rav Sorotzkin, one of the great posek, lived in Yerushalayim. Those who live in Yerushalayim, Rehov Sorotzkin, named after him, related to MTA Sorotzkin's. So the Rav Zalman Sorotzkin says the following. If we think about our tzitzis, and you think about the parts that have the wrappings, the chulios, right? How many are there? There's a group of 7, 8, 11, and 13. That grouping, 7, 8, 11, 13, says, Rav Zalman Sorotzkin, quoting the Gra, corresponds to the exact number of malachos in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. Because 7, 8, 11, 13 adds up to 39. And likewise, in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, you think about the groupings of Malachos. Likewise, there's Siddur Depas, Siddur Beged, 7, 8, 11, and 13. As we know that Shabbos is so fundamental to becoming, to being a Mamin, to being a Jew, the Gemara says, likewise, someone who keeps Shabbos is as if they kept the whole Torah. And someone, God forbid, who's Mechal Shabbos, is as if they're Mechal the whole Torah. Says Rav Sorotzkin, when we think about our tzitzis, it's the same Yisod as Shabbos. Shabbos allows us to be in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina, have Hashem all around us. And likewise, when we wear tzitzis, I guess we'll see in a moment, it allows HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be all around us. And therefore, the Gemara continues and says the following. V'tayin idach, another b'raisa. Re'isem also ischartem va'asisem. You will remember the mitzvos and you'll do mitzvos. Re'iyah mevi'ah de zechira. Seeing the mitzvah brings about remembering it, and zechira mevi'ah de la'asiya, and remembering brings about action. V'ra'ishim v'rechai omer, kol hazaris mitzvah zu, zochel mekabel penei hashchina. Again, it's all the same idea. If we see Hashem around us, we can be mekabel the penei hashchina. V'ksiv hacha, re'isem also, v'ksiv asam, es Hashem o'kecha tira v'osot avod. And therefore, here's a punchline, says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Chaviv and Yisrael, how special, how precious her Yisrael is in Hashem's eyes, She'asivvan HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'mitzvos. Hashem surrounded us with mitzvos. Tefillin b'roshehem, v'tefillin b'roshehem, tefillin on our head and our arm, v'tzitzis b'vdehem, tzitzis on our clothing, u'mezuzah l'pitzchehem, our mezuzah in our doorpost. Meaning Hashem, as we have said, Hashem surrounds us with mitzvos. He cocoons us, really, to be able to protect us from the world around us. He gives us Shabbos, he gives us tzitzis. True story, you guys know I always like to tell a good story. So many years ago, when I was an undergrad in NYU, I was coming home for Shabbos on a Friday morning. I grew up in Elizabeth, and I was taking the train home from Midtown, from Penn Station. I got off the train, I was waiting for my mother to pick me up from the train station, and, you know, nice, good, simple NYU guy sitting there. You know, before we had smartphones, I'm sitting there with a sefer, didn't have smartphones, waiting for my mother to pick me up. And all of a sudden, this car, which is a little bit scary looking, starts pulling up with tinted windows, shiny purple. And if you've ever back from in the 90s, it was one of those cars that like used to bounce. Like it was like blaring rap music coming from the car. It starts slowly driving up in front of me. Heart starts racing. I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. My mother's gonna, who knows what she's gonna find. I was so terrified. And all of a sudden the car drives up. I kid you not, the window rolls down, this tinted window rolls down. Gentleman looks out the window and he says to me with a straight face, "Hey man, what are those strings hanging out of your pants?" And I said, "What?" He goes, "Those strings, the strings." He's like, "Well, you know, they were down at the time." He goes, "Why are they hanging out of your pants?" And I said, "They're called tzitzis." He goes, "Why do you have them?" He said, "It reminds me that God's all around me all the time." He said, "Whoa, gotta get me some of those strings." True story. Can't make this stuff up. Like, but again, it's, you know, at the time, like, you know, didn't fully process the story. But like, you know, looking back years later, you come across the Gemara Menachos. That was this. If we understand process for a moment, like again, to recognize as we put on our tzitzis in the morning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu around us all the time. On the flip side, when we think about it, as well, it's always important to think about how Kadosh Baruch Hu views our mitzvot as well, and how seriously Ke'ilu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it. Says the Gemara in Psachim, source number 2, Shiva Menudim L'Shemayim. There are 7 people who have a punishment, Shemayim, called Nidoi Ve'ilu Hein. There's a whole list, but this is one of them. U'misha Inlo Tfilin, Barosho, V'Tfilin Bezroo, V'Tzitzis, V'Bigdo, M'Zuzo, V'Pisco. Sound familiar? Right? It's the opposite, the flip side of the previous Gemara. The Gemara says, well, it's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us. He surrounds us with amazing mitzvos. But yet, if we don't do it, it's also not great. It's also not great. Therefore, it says, Tosus there on the spot. Therefore, we have to opt in, even if it's hard for us, even if it's challenging to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis, if it's so serious, not only is it positive, but ke'ilu, it's negative, we have to think about what it is that we don't do in mitzvahs. We have to opt into doing the mitzvah. Says Tosfos there on the spot. And he quotes an amazing Gemara in Sota and Daf Yudalet. The Gemara tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu, we know he's punished for hitting the rock, we're not able to go into Eretz Yisrael. Yet Moshe Rabbeinu v'aschon on Yidavin, then Yidavin, then Yidavin to go to Eretz Yisrael. Why do you want to go to Eretz Yisrael so badly? Says the Gemara, simply, he wanted to fulfill the mitzvahs, Hatulius Ba'aretz, Truma, Meiser, the mitzvahs have relating to the land. So ask the Gemara, what does it mean? He wasn't chayiv in the mitzvos. If you're not there, right? Unfortunately, we're all here. We're not in Eretz Yisrael. We can fulfill the mitzvos. It's not held against us. Why do you want it so badly? Says the Gemara, because we see so clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to fulfill mitzvos. And therefore, says Tosus there, in Sachim, we have to try as hard as we can to realize that a mitzvah is an opportunity. It's a chance for us to be able to do a mitzvah. We're so privileged to be able to do a mitzvah. So if that's the case, so when we think about tzitzis, so what are they? Is it chiyuv? Is it opportunity? We can? Would we have to? What is the nature of the mitzvah of tzitzis? So there's an amazing Gemara in Menachos and Daf Mem Aleph, source number 3. A malach walks into the room, and he sees Rav Katina there. Rav Katina was wearing a beged that was putter from tzitzis. So the malach says to Rav Katina the following, Amr lei, Katina, Katina, sadina v'kaita v'sarbala v'sisusa. He says, you want to understand, you're wearing this garment, which is putter from tzitzis. Tzitzis, shal tzlewas ma teheloha. What? How are you going to wear tzitzis? And it's interesting, he points out tzlewas, right? How are you going to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis and tzlewas if you're wearing this beged, which is putter from tzitzis? It seems like, what's going on here? What are you going to do here? Why are you being pottering yourself? Why would you create a situation where you don't have to wear tzitzis? So, Katina got a little standoffish with the malach, and he said, hold on. Amr lei, an shisu asay? Are you punishing us now for not fulfilling a mitzvah asay? Right? Is tzitzis a los asay? It's an asay, right? You have to wear tzitzis, right? What? All of a sudden, you're punishing us for not wearing tzitzis? What does it mean? Why are you getting angry with me? So says the Gemara, an unbelievable thing. Amr lei bizman de'ika rischa anchina. Says the Malach to Rav Katina, very vague thing. Says, well, it's true. You're not going to get a punishment. There's no punishment for not wearing tzitzis. Right? That's not, because the mitzvah is asay. There's no punishment for not wearing tzitzis. But in a time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was already angry with us, so then, if a person does not wear tzitzis, the anger then increases. Right, Lamasha, right? You have, right? I know no one would ever, you know, not listen to their parents for a moment, right? Let's say our parent asked us to take out the garbage. And we did, we didn't do it. And then later on in the day, someone, mother walks into our room and says, oh my gosh, I thought I asked you to clean up this room, it's a disaster. And all of a sudden they get even more angry. Right? And that would never happen to anybody, right? But let's say such a thing happens. Right? So again, it increases more and more and more because we allow ourselves to not listen. So says the Malach, that's exactly what happens. So what's going on here? So is that really true? But again, it's not an asay. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu getting angry with us, Ki'ilu, if a person doesn't wear tzitzis? Right? And then let's try to, again, always keep in mind the ultimate question is, so when we're playing ball, so therefore what? But I'm doing something positive. I'm playing ball. It's perhaps even a mitzvah, right? According to the Chovos HaLevavos, right? We know that people often think that there's three categories of actions, right? There's mitzvos, there's averos, and there's parv, like all the things in the middle. You can all think of a mitzvos, you can all think of averos, you can all think of parv. Says the Chovos HaLevavos, no, not true. Chovos HaLevavos tells us that there's really two concepts and two actions in the world. There's mitzvah and there's avera. It's all dependent on our kavana. What are we machaving? When I'm playing ball, what's my kavana? I know it's like a funny question almost. Like, what's the kavana for playing ball? Is the kavana for playing ball, like, it's just fun. You know, I just want to hang out with my friends. I just want to play ball. Or is our kavana, perhaps, I want to be healthy. I want to be engaged. I want to be involved with people. I want to be social. And therefore, it helps me become a better person, a better Eved Hashem. Right? Playing ball can be an incredible mitzvah. So if I'm, perhaps, even if a person has such a kavana, and you know, if I'm not wearing tzitzis at the moment, so how? What does that mean? That a person perhaps could be at that point where Hashem could be angry with us. So what does that even mean? So it comes along to Tosis and Erechin and saves the day. Says Tosis and Erechin, source number 4. He says, what's it talking about here? When is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ki'ilu Kiviyachol gets angry with us? If you look in the bold there, source number 4. Says Tosis, Dafka Ba'osan Hayamim. It was only in those days. In the ancient times. Dekola talisos hayubas arba kanfos, ika onesh. Right, osa shibeshana osa lipater. It was only for those days when they wore tzitzis on their clothing. I don't know if you've ever seen this. You don't see this in Eretz Yisrael. People who wear tzitzis on their actual clothing. I remember when I was in YU, we were zocha to hear from Yoel Ben Nun. That's all right. He was amazing tamachacha, amazing magid shir. And I never forget, he walked into shir one day. He came to our shir to give a guest shir with his suit jacket. It was slit up to here with his tzitzis hanging on his suit jacket. It was amazing to see. I was a spell from it. It was incredible. Right, but that there are people, there are Jews in Eretz Yisrael, right, who walk around. They were on their cloaks. They were on their outer clothing. So in those days, so if you went and on your outer clothing, you chose to wear something which is potter from tzitzis, then you weren't wearing tzitzis at all. He says, "Aval b'zman hazeh." But again, this is Tosis talking in the very Middle Ages, right? B'zman hazeh, shirov ha-talisos paturin, when most talisos are pater, meaning because we already wear a talis katan on our under our clothing. Zven ein onesh l'misha ein okona arba kanfos. So we then don't wear. Right, because most people don't wear clothing with four corners, right, and therefore you don't have to go out and actually buy a pair of dalakanfos. Right, Tosfos holds that you don't actually have to go out and buy tzitzis. You don't have to put yourself in that situation. It's only if already your clothing has four corners and you choose to round the corners or wear something else. No, but again, see, the assumption there in those days is in those that the clothing they had had dalakanfos, right? And therefore, but again, we opt into an extra level, meaning our clothing doesn't have dalakanfos. We elect to therefore go out and purchase a dalakanfos to do it. But in those days, if everybody wore tzitzis on their outer clothing, and it was so recognizable that you're going out of your way to round the corners. So it's showing you're going kum v'yaseh, trying to not wear tzitzis. And he says, and that's why the Malach got upset at Katina. That Bar Katino, he had his outer cloak and he rounded the corners, or he was wearing a sudden in the summer, right, which made himself potter from tzitzis, and therefore he went out of his way to potter himself from tzitzis. Right, but in our generation, we don't have that. And how do we paskin halacha? Ma'isa says at Shulchan Aruch. He says, "Im ein adam lovish talis bas arba kanfos." Source number 5, eino chayev b'tzitzis. Right, simply, very simply, if we don't have to have tzitzis, right? If you don't have a bag of dalak kanfos, however, says the Shulchan Aruch, "V'tov v'nachon lihios kol adam zahir libosh talis katan kol hayom." But it's tov v'nachon to wear tzitzis all day. Why? Kedesh yiskar hamitzvos b'chol rega. Every moment is an opportunity to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why would you put yourself in a situation to not wear tzitzis? So now, however, here's where the question really kicks off. So I don't understand. So what's going on here? So now, we're really supposed to wear tzitzis b'chol yom, b'chol rega, to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it still seems somewhat optional. And yet, we put ourselves in situations sometimes which exempt ourselves from tzitzis because we, for whatever reason. Tamir Goodman, Jewish Jordan, right? Tamir Goodman once wrote an article that he says when he was younger, when he was playing for Maryland, and he was playing in high school, so he didn't wear tzitzis while playing ball. He says, but then as he got older, he moved to Eretz Yisrael and started playing for Maccabi Tel Aviv. He said he got a little bit more into learning, and he learned through the sugya, these sources that we're learning together. And he decided, therefore, based on this Gemara, based on this Shulchan Aruch, therefore he needs to wear tzitzis b'chol yom and b'chol rega. So you actually, if you look at the pictures, the videos, he started wearing tzitzis while he played professional ball in Eretz Yisrael. He felt very strong about it. I think he actually started producing tzitzis, like a dry fit tzitzis, in order to make sure that guys wear. So, not a commercial for them. I haven't seen them. I thought fascinating that, you know, basically he had the same, you know, idea from the article. So again, it seems from the Shulchan Aruch that it seems like it's something excellent and something that a person should do with tzitzis all the time. But how strong really is it? So Rav Moshe, I'm not going to read the whole Rav Moshe now, if you want to take a look at it later. Rav Moshe writes there in source number 6, writing to his son, Rav David, that a person, while it's true, tzitzis used to be, quote unquote, optional, meaning, and if I did it, I wore it, great, if not. But says Rav Moshe, Bizman hazeh, when every Jew has been kabbal upon themselves to wear tzitzis every single day. So he says it's become almost like a chiyuv itself to wear tzitzis. And he says it's stronger than just an old minhag. It has really become almost like a chiyuv. He says, and therefore a person has to go out of their way whenever they can to wear tzitzis. You know, we often think of tzitzis as like a mitzvah kiyumis. You know, it's like invoked, like making aliyah, you know, like a Rezor Moshe, like making, you know, a mitzvah kiyumis. David Orlovsky, Shlita, familiar Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, was once giving a shir in Har Nof. And he was talking about the mitzvah. I'm sorry, he was giving here in New York, from Har Nof, and he was giving talking the mitzvah of making aliyah. And so, a woman raised her hand, and she said, "Rabbi," she says, "with all due respect, isn't making aliyah a mitzvah kiyumis? Like, if you do it, great, but you don't really have to do it." the way Rav Moshe Paskin. So Rav Lasky turned to the woman and said, let me ask you a question. Tzitzis, in theory, is also a mitzvah kiyumis. He says, what if your son came home from the yeshiva one day and said, Ma, I'm done wearing tzitzis. It's only mitzvah kiyumis. I don't really have to do it. Like, what would be our reaction? Right? We don't often have the reaction because we view tzitzis as incredibly important. So we almost, as Rav Moshe says, almost like a chiyuv. So that's really what is crucial to understand, is that the mitzvah of tzitzis, again, beyond giving us a recognition of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, as Rav Moshe says, it's almost like a mitzvah chiyuvis. So what about if it's hard? Right? Sometimes tzitzis are mitzvahs are hard. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. We're playing ball, right? We got sweaty, guys need to pull at them, right? It's challenging, right? Or if you think about it, you know, in my boys, I'm sure like you play PSL, they have a flag football league where my boys are, they play every Friday, they're very serious about it, right? Flag football, right? We have to tuck in our tzitzis, so like, you imagine you pull the flags and you pull the tzitzis, it's complicated, right? In Pesach, actually the rule in the league is you must tuck in your tzitzis, right? That's part of the rules of the game. So when we think about how challenging it would be when we play any sport, football, basketball, whatever it might be. So the question is, it's hard and it's challenging. Is there room, is there a heter to not wear our tzitzis for ball? So one of the famous tshuvas is that of the Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer was Eliezer Waldenberg, one of the great, great poskim. He was nifter in 2006 in Yerushalayim. And he wrote 21 volumes of tshuvos. Outstanding. Talmud Chacham. Really incredible. So somebody asked him this question. Exactly. A person wears tzitzis even when it's hot. In the middle of the summer, we're sweaty, it's challenging. Can we take off our tzitzis? So he quotes from the Maharil Gazi was a Rav in Turkey in the 1700s, and he actually became the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael in 1777. So he quotes, again, we don't have to read the whole thing inside, he quotes from the Maharil Gazi. He says that at the time in Turkey, in the mid-1700s, the Maharil Gazi was bemoaning the fact that it was so hot in Turkey that people were taking off their tzitzis and their yarmulkes. Because it was so hot that you didn't know how to cool themselves. So they just started taking off their clothing and walking around without clothing. So Mari Al-Ghazi, he writes in a tshuva, and this is all that Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg, the Tzitz Eliezer, he quotes this as his answer, quoting the Mari Al-Ghazi, that how terrible it is and how horrendous it is that even when it's so hot, that people are taking off their tzitzis. And he says, well, fum tsara agra, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us that things are hard, so we work harder. The reward based is on how hard things are. He says, and therefore, you know, he says it was hot for Rav and Rav Nachman, meaning in Bavel, right, where the Gemara was written, it was really hot. It was really hot. He says, and therefore we have to go out of our way, even when things are hard, and even when things are challenging, to make sure that we wear tzitzis. That's the shita of the Tzitz Eliezer. But we know that it's not certainly the minhag often in many communities. Now we see that when guys play ball, there is room to take off their tzitzis. The question is, where does that come from? Right? So again, Tzitz Eliezer was very strict, and it seems like the Maharid Al-Ghazi, again, based on all this we said so far, it seems like it's a chiv all the time. But then where is the room for a little bit stretch? So this is a tshuva from the Rivos Ephraim, or Ephraim Greenblatt. Ephraim Greenblatt was a great rav in Memphis. He was an incredible posek. He was considered perhaps the Talmidim of Hakim of Rav Moshe Feinstein. So the Rivos Ephraim likewise was asked the same question. And so he quotes a story to answer this question. And he says the following. We'll read inside. Look at their source number 8. He says, Maisa Ubachri Yeshiva mi B'nei Brak. He says there was a story where there were Bachrim and Yeshiva B'nei Brak. Shahalachos Sham Gavoa B'Yoser. It was very hot and humid in B'nei Brak. If you've ever been in B'nei Brak in the summer, it's very hot there. The Chazon Ish used to say that a person in B'nei Brak should not wear wool tzitzis in the summer because it's not called a beged. So he says it gets so hot there. He says, Uba Chasana Kashima Od. He says, and they were at a chasana, they were dancing. You know, like you're at a chagiga, you're at a wedding, you're dancing, you're sweating. So he says, Reboy Begodim, and they had a lot of clothing on. Again, the Bachar wearing long coats, probably wearing hats. Right? It was very hot. Ubal Lishal Vifneim Aran Hagon, Yosef Shalom Al Yashav Shlita. They asked Rabbi Yashav, who must have been at the chasana, Imutra Lipsho Hatal Katan Bechia Gavna. They could take off their clothing, including their tzitzis, at the chasana, because it was so hot. And in Rabbi Yashav Paskind, Yes. He says it was so hot, you could take off your tzitzis because it was so, it was detracting from your ability to function and to dance. It's not possible. Why, what's the svara? Why is it that Rav Yashiv Paskin that it was mutter? So you look at source number 9, Rav Daniel Neustadt Shlita is a Rav in Lakewood. He has an amazing set of svarim. I don't know if you've seen them, called the Daily Halacha Discussions. They're amazing, amazing svarim. So he quotes this Rav Yashiv, and he says the svar is the following. They argue, the mitzvah of tzitzis is only properly fulfilled when one is wearing a bega that benefits him some way, i.e. protects or warms him. But if the garment does not benefit, on the contrary, it makes him uncomfortable or bothers him when it's possible that the talus cut no longer falls under the category of beged, and one who wears a useless beged does not fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis by wearing it. An amazing svar. Again, Rav Neustadt says, when we wear tzitzis and it's not a beged because it's so hot and bothersome, it no longer has a din of a beged, which is an amazing thing, right? And therefore, if you're trying to play ball, and it's just like, it's impossible, especially if you're going to wear it on your skin, which is perhaps a separate shear, right? Then it doesn't become a beged anymore, right? And therefore, you couldn't possibly wear your tzitzis, right? And therefore, perhaps, you would be, in fact, exempt. Rav Asher Weiss, Shlita, likewise, was asked by a chayal, right? You don't have to tell us, right, how hard it is to do basic training, like walking and running for miles and miles and miles and miles, right, with a heavy backpack. How heavy was your backpack?
It's heavy.
Heavy. How many pounds do you think?
A lot.
Okay. So a chayal asked Rav Asher Weiss, similar question. He was going through basic training, and he was running and running and running, and it was so hard for him. He was dripping sweat. He felt like he was going to pass out. So he wrote a letter to Rav Asher Weiss asking him if he's allowed to remove his tzitzis because every layer counts, in order to make sure he doesn't pass out from the stress and the work from running and doing these miles and miles with his backpack on. Rav Asher Weiss responded in a similar way. And he said this, and he said similarly. Well, he says, likewise, if a person becomes such a tircha, and it's so hard, and it doesn't become a beged anymore for him, so then he can remove his tzitzis, and he matred him to do such a thing. So, again, we have these situations. Rav Asher Weiss, there is room. Likewise, it's said in the name of Rav Shachter. Again, I didn't ask him directly, but I'd heard in close people to Rav Shachter likewise that he say that the Rav Shachter likewise was Miko in a situation where people feel that they cannot play ball with their tzitzis, whether it's because of this or Rav Shachter holds that likewise it's a bizayon to the mitzvah. If a person is dripping sweat, right? We know it, guys, right? When we're playing ball, you're working hard, you're sweating, and your tzitzis are just like disgusting. He says, so in that point, there's no mitzvah of being mevazeh the mitzvah, to disgrace a mitzvah. He says, similarly, likewise, if you have a situation like we don't put a mezuzah on a bathroom, right, or any place which is a bizayon, because even though there's a mitzvah to put a mezuzah on a doorway, but there's going to be a disgrace to the mitzvah, so that we don't do. Likewise, I heard, so that's what Shalter says in terms of tzitzis as well. So again, so we have, obviously, situations where a person needs to take off their tzitzis. And that always has to be balanced with the previous sources. And the Rambam really sums it up. The Rambam there, in Hilchos Tzitzis, in the source number 10, does the following. Af al pi, she'ein adam mechuyiv liknos lo talis lis atef ba, kedish she'yaseh ba tzitzis, ein roi chosid she'pater asma mitzvazu. Even though a person doesn't have to buy tzitzis, but it's not appropriate, he says, for a chosid, a holy person, to make himself exempt from tzitzis, eli olam yishtadel lihiyos otuf, rather, the person should try as hard as they can to do whatever it takes to obligate themselves in the mitzvah of tzitzis, right, in order to make sure they can fill that mitzvah. You know, they say in the name of the Gra, that when the Gra was on his deathbed, that, you know, like all great Gedolim stories, when the Gedolim were on the deathbed, the Talmidim walked in, and the Gra was crying on his deathbed, and the Talmidim walked in, and they said, Rebbe, why are you crying? And the Gra responded famously, because, he says, for just a kopeck, for a small amount of money in this world, I could buy myself a pair of tzitzis, and I could achieve olam haba. He says, but in the next world, for all the money in the world, I can't buy myself one more tzitzis. One more pair of tzitzis that will enable myself to fulfill this mitzvah. So the concept, again, is, while it's true, there are heterim, and certainly when a person plays ball, Right? They are, right? They are, you know, there's room to say, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, there's room to say, therefore, or they're running, you know, miles as a chayal. There's certainly room to say that a person is pater, even though we saw the Shulchan Aruch and others in the Gemaras, how special the mitzvah of tzitzis is, and how a person should really try as hard as he can to be able to fulfill that mitzvah. And, you know, the kasha for those guys who are on, perhaps on a basketball team or on other teams, hockey, and other teams that know they're not going to play that game or not get as much time in that game, is perhaps something to think about is, should they be wearing tzitzis on the bench? Should they be wearing tzitzis on the side? I'll leave you to discuss that with your rav and your posik. Ray Apple actually told me the other night at the wrestling match, there was one of the guys who was waiting, because in wrestling you only wrestle every so often. So one of the guys not in our yeshiva was wearing his tzitzis over his whatever they wear, the wrestling uniform, and while he was waiting, because like, why should he miss out in even one moment, even one second? So I'll put that out for those of them who know that they're not going to play as much on the game. But those who are in and out of the game, you know, certainly what to think about. Okay. I want to, if we can, just to spend 10 minutes now, I wanted to spend 10 more minutes really looking at one more nekuda, one more issue that comes up often. Perhaps not so often, but it could certainly come up. And it came up already last week at the Shabbaton. Is that in terms of what happens if someone hurts somebody else, damages somebody else while playing sports? Last week at the Shabbaton, while we were playing football and on Erev Shabbos, one of the Talmidim caught the football. I'm sure a lot of you saw this, right? And his nail splintered back and like folded back and almost came off. One of the boys in yeshiva. He felt the need to, you know, to show me to see what it was, you know, it was. But in terms of, again, one of the things that came to my mind right away was, as the person who threw the football, are they chayiv for breaking this Talmud's nail and pushing it back by throwing the football? What do you think? No, why not?
Yeah.
What's that? Okay. Oh, so right. So by playing, you're signing up for the risk. DJ, say that? What? Rama, okay. So he caught the ball. It was very cold. It was very cold, and as the ball hit his nail, it cracked back. But yes, y'all, what do you think? Okay, very good. All right. Okay, so let's see a few sources, and then we'll see if we can come to a conclusion. So there's a very famous Gemara in Bava Kamma, and Daf Chaf Vav Amud Aleph, source number 12. Adam Mu'ud Yolam. We know that there is different Avos Nizikin, right? Into the first Mishnah Bava Kamma. Then there's Adam. Adam Mu'ud Yolam. Adam is always considered somebody who always damages. Bein Shogeg, Bein Mezid. Whether it's an accident or it's on purpose. Bein Er, Bein Yashin. Whether he's awake or whether he's asleep. So again, person's always chayev. Jump to the end of the line. Mishalim Nezek Shalim. Either a person always pays Nezek Shalim if he damages somebody. So it seems very clear that if you hurt somebody, irrelevant of why it happens, you're chayiv. So is the quarterback chayiv? Seems like it. Right? Seems like it. What if there was another reason which caused and was called a tzira? Right? It was another external reason that created what's called an ones. It was not his fault. It was not his fault. Was it the quarterback's fault that the receiver broke his nail? No. Right? It wasn't really his fault. Right? We would call that perhaps an ones. It wasn't really, it happened against both of their wills. It wasn't he actively damaged him. It wasn't he actively did it. I was watching my son's PSL football, his flag football game last week. And there were two boys went in to grab another boy's flag. Two boys from the same team. And they smashed heads and noses and glasses, and again, not pretty. Right? It was not great. But again, they damaged. So are one of them at fault? No. Even though one of them perhaps could have avoided it, right? They're not at fault. So there's machlokes between Tosos and the Ramban, right? In terms of what happens if there is an onus. It's not their fault. Someone pushes you into somebody else, right? Somebody right? Someone's throwing the football, and by accident, they don't even see you, and then you go and they pull your arm back, and a person breaks their arm. It's totally not planned, totally against your will. It's onus. So machlokes in Tosas there in Baba Kama and in Ramban and Baba Metzia is to whether or not, if there's an onus, that still applies. We can still say Adam Ludi Olam. Tosas says that if there's an onus, you're totally pater. Ramban, however, disagrees. Ramban and Baba Metzia, take a look there. Ramban says, not true, that even if there's an onus, the Mishnah says, and what the Mishnah says, Adam Ludi Olam, that Adam is always chayiv. There's a very incredible Tosos in Sukkah, which talks about jousting. I don't know if you ever know, Tosos discusses jousting. So there's a, there are no jousting, right? Knights, right? Things. So if you look there, source number 17, so Tosos says the following, that the Mishnah in Sukkah tells us that right after Yontif, people would take the lulavim out of the hands of the children. They played a game with them. They would, like, take their lulavim. Tosas takes this on a little bit of a tangent, and he says the following. We'll read it inside because it's fascinating. Tosas says, in the source number 17, says, Lulavei hatinokos shomtin hagdolim miyadon. The adults would take the lulavs out of the children's hands. The ochlin esrogehem. Shomtin hagdolim. They would eat the esrogim of the kids. The ein bedavar gezel, the lo misham darchei shalom. It's not stealing, and it's not even a violation of darchei shalom. El shekach nagu. Apparently, this was like a fun thing to do. This was a game. Kach perish b'kuntres. The yesh lomo mikan. Listen to the Tosos. It's unbelievable. The yesh lomo mikan. La oso bachrim sherochvim besusim lekos chasin. That those people who, like, for their ofruf, I don't know if I never saw this such a thing, but apparently it was such a minhag, that people rode on horses for in front of a chasin. The dolchamim ze im ze. Right? They would fight with each other on horseback. The card, big dog, and they would tear their clothing, shachavero, on the calcalo, suso, or even injure their horse, shehin peturin, their putter. Why? Shekach nagu machmas simchas chasin. Because a simchas chasin, that was okay. Because a simcha, if they're jousting, they're fighting with each other, they're putter. Why? Why would you think such a thing? Why is simcha, you're fighting with each other, bishom simcha, and therefore you're putter? How does that work? Why are they putter from joust with somebody, you tear their shirt? Because why?
Part of the game.
Right? The assumption of the posthum who quotes this Tosas say very simply, there's a concept called mechila. Right? When I go and we're fighting, we're wrestling, we'll see it wrestling in a moment. Right? But when we're playing football and I grab your shirt, and you rip your jersey, that's part of the game. Right, when you're part of the game, and that's the assumption, where we have mechila from each other, right? That's totally mutter. I was discussing this Tosas yesterday with Rabbi Chaim Strauchler, the Rav in Rinat. He's a childhood friend. We grew up there since we were five. I was speaking to Rabbi Strauchler. We're talking about this Tosas, and as we talked about it, I reminded Rabbi Strauchler of the time when he and I were in eighth grade, and we were playing football during gym in eighth grade, and I was the offensive lineman, right? Strauchler was the defensive lineman. And Strauchler, I don't know if he's a good athlete, especially back in the day, right? And he went and he jumped on me and like to push me back, and I fell backwards and I fractured this wrist. And so I said to Strauchler, do you remember when that happened? He said, Shimonai. He says, I actually totally forgot about that. He says, I'm so sorry. He says, are you mochel me? That was the first thing he said. And I said, machloch, 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 and mochel him. But again, at the time, of course we're mochel, right? But that's part of the game, right? It's part of the game that people get hurt, people get injured. So, right? So that's certainly the case. The Shulchan Aruch passes like this halacha mitzvah. So there in source number 18. What's so interesting is that the Shulchan Aruch number 19 there in Hilchos Purim applies this beyond football. Says the Shulchan Aruch V'yesh Omrim, says the Ramah in source number 19, the imhizik echad eschavero mikoa simchas Purim. If you're dancing on Purim and you're a little bit intoxicated on Purim and you accidentally hurt another person, another Jew on Purim, you are potter. Amazing. Potter milashali, right? Bidini nezikin. It's amazing. You're potter from pain, which is an unbelievable thing. The Aruch HaShulchan fascinatingly says that he says, Bizman hazeh, in times of the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, today nobody gets so drunk and parties so hard on Purim. I'm not sure if the Aruch HaShulchan, you know, would come to modern day Purim here and to see not in Teaneck, but in other towns to see, what perm is like, that if you always would agree to that. Right, but there's certainly a concept as well, likewise as well. Right, it's an unbelievable thing. So when we think about this, that a person, if they're engaged in something and everyone's mocho each other, right, when you're at a perm chagiga, certainly the idea is the same exact thing. When you're at a perm chagiga and you're dancing and, someone's glasses gets knocked off and broken and cracked, whatever it might be, likewise, a person is all mochel each other, and therefore a person would not be chayiv. We turn the page. The question becomes, is there a difference between property and body? Meaning, I could be mochel on my glasses. So when I was in high school, I had those really cool rec specs. Those when they first came out, the Horace Grant rec specs. They were great. So they were fun. But because I knew I didn't want to break my glasses. So I know when I go into a game that is a possibility of my glasses getting broken. But can I be mochel on my body? Can I be mochel on my body? The Beis Yosef in Chosha Mishpat, Tavkuf Aleph, quotes the Agudah that we cannot be mochel on our bodies. Cannot be mochel on our bodies. But this is subject to dispute. The Tor quotes from his father, the Rush, the following question that was asked to the Rush. This is way back. It seems like it could happen today. Or last source number 22, says the following. Shnayim sheis avku yachad. Two people were wrestling. Two guys were wrestling. Whether it's in a little mini pool in the mall, or whether it's anywhere elsewhere, guys were wrestling with each other. Ve'echad hi pil chaveiro la'aretz, and one made the other one fall to the ground. V'nafal alav, and he fell then on top of him. V'sima eino shalatachlon, and he poked out the eye of the guy under him. V'harifil also, and his falling. Ma'adino, what's the halacha? This is asked to the Rush. Says the Rush, tshuva. He says, the near the potter behedvarim. He's potter from the five payments we pay for Nezikin. Afagav the kaimon adam l'di olam. Even though we said in our early Mishnah Chavav that a person is always chayiv when he damages. Where is that? Hecha, dehavi ones potter. Right? That's like, that only when it's full ones is he potter. And he says, that's like Tosos. K'isa b'yushami. Like, why are you passing this? For like a Yerushalmi. What does a Yerushalmi say? And Tosfos also quotes the same Yerushalmi. He says the following case. Haya Yashin, there was a person who was sleeping. Uba Chaveiro, and another guy came. Veshachav Etzlo. That he lay down and fell asleep next to the first guy. In the middle of the night, the first guy rolls over and elbows him in the face and damages him. Says the Yerushalmi, he is putter. Beniske Sheni. He's putter for the damage of the second guy. Right? Fascinating. Right? So he says, you're a putter for the second guy. Why? What's the proof? What's the idea? Tosos earlier there and the Rosh are saying, because that's what's called an onis gamor. The first guy was literally sleeping, even though the Mishnah says, you're chayiv even when you're sleeping. But here, whose fault was it that the second guy got damaged? The second guy. Because the post can point out, because the second guy, even though it's true, you're a chayev if while you're sleeping, right? So if a person's like a really wild sleeper, right? And while they're sleeping, if they go and they break something, or let's say someone sleepwalks and they break something, they're chayev. But if somebody lays down next to them and the guy set the guy up for failure, like a lifting Iver situation, the second guy is chayev because then he said he's poshea, he was negligent. So says the Rush, similar to what the Tosas is like the Yerushalmi, and therefore a person's always going to be potter unless if it's going to be a pure ones. He says, and therefore, he says, V'tanya, like Gabi Beish, Sharatsu, we'll skip that, we don't need Gemara. He says, and therefore, the next line, Shalobe Kavana Paturim, B'nidon Zeh, Sheis Afku Zeim Zeh, and in this case where the two guys were wrestling, Midash Nehem, V'hiziko, Zeh et Zeh. They both damage each other. It's on their own das. They were mochel each other, and it's their kavana to damage each other. Shalom kavana. Why? Because everyone knows two guys are wrestling. Yachad iker kavanasam shiyapo echad chaveiro. That the whole purpose of wrestling is to push somebody down. The efsher laadum with something lechavin shiyapolos benachas shalom yizuku. You don't. You can't totally hard to really to not hurt somebody while you're wrestling. Because you're wrestling with all of your might. And therefore, v'kol echad mehem echaven lahapil chaviro umachu azel zev v'daita dahachi misavik yachad. Therefore, when you go wrestle somebody, you're all in it together. And therefore, you're mochel, and you know what's coming out, you know what's going to happen. And therefore, when you play football, you know that you could get hurt, you know your jersey could get ripped. It's part of the game. And therefore, when something's part of the game, you are always going to be putter. Postscript, there's a Rav in Kiryat Arba in Eretz Yisrael named Rav Dov Lior, big Talmud Chacham. He wrote it as his Tshuvos. So Rav Dov Lior was asked likewise the following shiloh, that there was a basketball game of guys in yeshiva there in Kiryat Arba in Eretz Yisrael, where guys were playing, someone broke his glasses. And it was a regular foul, right? Regular foul, not right. They came to Rav Dov Lior and said, is the guy who fouled the other guy chayav to pay for the glasses? And he says, absolutely. He's not supposed to be fouling the guy. Fascinating tshuva. When Rabbi Jachter from TABC heard about this, he came across this, Rav Dov Lior, he brought this to Ray Willig, and he asked Ray Willig what he thought about this tshuva. Ray Willig was very shocked, he was surprised. And he says, what do you mean? Fouling is part of the game. Right? Fouling is part of the game. Intentional fouling is not part of the game. Right, and Lahavdil, right? The NBA likewise has such a chilk, right? Meaning, right, we know that like you can intentionally foul somebody, right? That's already a knas in the NBA, right? More and more. But a regular foul, it's part of the game. Right. So therefore, right, Willie Poskin, that if something is part of the game, if a person gets injured while they're playing, it's normal parts of the game, no problem. If something's intentional, someone goes out of their way to damage another person, different than what the Rush and different than Tosas, different than the Yishami. So then already that's subject to for a person to be chayiv, and that, he says, right, well, like, a person could actually take another person to Bezdin for a football game, right, for intentionally hurting him, intentionally damaging him. Okay, so just to kind of bring the two things together, just again, so we started off today with talking about tzitzis and how important it is to wear tzitzis, and while there are, of course, heterim for a person to take off their tzitzis while playing ball, whether it's because it's uncomfortable, it's not a beged, or because it's a bizayon, it's always important to remember that the goal is what we started off the Gemara and Menachos with, to keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu around us at all time. And we are always, always, always in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever we do in this world. And likewise, in terms of Nezikin, it's the same idea. While, of course, there are reasons and times when a person is chayiv or not chayiv to pay for the damage they do, but always the goal is, if a person's careful with how we act, and we're careful with how we conduct ourselves, even while we're playing ball, certainly that level of damage perhaps might not happen, because if a person also plays ball, like we said, the Chos HaVavos, we were always doing for fulfilling a mitzvah, it could be when we play ball, if it's done as a way to think about standing with Nei Hashem Elokim. So that's Hashem. So we should everything we should do throughout our day today, while we have time, should be spent thinking about how we can always focus our presence and in our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Nei Hashem Elokim. Have a great day, everybody. A little bit. It's about not understanding perhaps the nature of a foul.
Yeah,
correct. It's not really a whole lot, but it's more of like understanding the nature of like what a foul is in the game. It's part of the game, not part of the game.